Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
We are back on Rutherford Issues, powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. They remind you that United Communications, their internet company, delivers fast 99.99% reliable fiber internet to homes and businesses. Learn more at mte.com. And our live stream on Big GTV brought to you by our friends at Murfreesboro Medical Clinic, your health, their mission, mmclinic.com. What we're going to talk about, Rutherford County Schools, and fresh off of a nap after the school board meeting last night is the board chair, Claire Maxwell. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, glad you were able to at least get in a nap. You know, people think July, school's not even in session. What's the school board doing? It's been a busy summer.
It has been a very, very busy summer. We had about 3 weeks where we were able to take a little bit of a break, but we hit the ground running this week. We had a policy committee meeting on Monday, a work session Tuesday, and then last night culminated with a board meeting. So yes, we've got some important business that we have to do, and I'm happy it went well last night, and but it was a long one.
Did you happen to do you know how many hours between those three meetings?
We were there. I got there at 2:30.
Yeah.
And our first meeting started at 3:30. The second meeting was supposed to start at 5:30. It didn't quite happen. So it didn't. We didn't get started till closer to 6:30. So.
And yesterday was like, what, 2.5 hours?
And I didn't get out of there till about 8:35. So, yeah, it was about 6 hours. So, yeah.
Long days.
Long day.
A lot of the things that were talked about, and maybe kind of update us on some of that, but there were still dealing with the bus, not really the contract, but with some of the policies and things of that nature that go along with that.
Just cleaning up some things, making things fair for all of our contractors, because we are, as Jeff Reed, if you watched the meeting, Jeff Reed said that ultimately what the board and what Jeff Reed and transportation are trying to do and the school system trying to do is make this fair and support the small businessmen, which are majority of our contractors. So we saw some things that were some irregularities with, you know, some of our, the way we do contracts, and so we want to make sure it's more fair, and even talked about doing a lottery instead of, you know, having a priority list, but keeping it at 10 routes per contractor, and I think that's the best way to do it, and I think a lot of our contractors will appreciate that.
You know, from being outside of that, but maybe knowing a little bit about what happened months ago, you know, when there was conversation of, well, we're going to strike, we're going to do this, and that's, you know, 60 to 65% of your buses with a group. I mean, that's kind of scary.
Very scary. And I really hope that we're never in that situation again. And like, we're trying to head this off. We're just trying to make sure things are fair and that we really can't be held hostage by a small number of our contractors. So majority are just absolutely gems. They've been driving for us for years, but we're just trying to keep this fair. And I've heard from numerous, and I think other board members have as well this morning, saying thank you for addressing this. So I think going forward it's going to be just a better situation for everyone.
Before this year, have we ever had a board member that worked directly with transportation and with the bus drivers? I mean, I know you appointed Stan to be kind of a liaison.
We knew that. I had a feeling this year was going to be a little bit different. Yeah. We've had Coy the last time when I first came on. Coy and I were on the bus committee.
Okay.
And I think the way they did it before was basically it was a board member, our attorney Jeff Reed, and then someone from transportation, probably Trey Lee, and they kind of worked out most of the stuff, and then they brought it to the board and we voted it up or down. This time I knew that there were some logistics to that, and I felt like having one person be one voice, because I already saw that there was the potential for this to get out of hand, because this contractor is going to go talk to this board person, and this contractor is going to talk to that board person, and we need to be one voice. So and I wanted to hear from them. I wanted to hear from the mom and pops, and I wanted to hear from the ones that have several routes. So we allowed them to come we had, I think, 3 or 4 meetings where they were allowed to come. Now, sometimes it was the attorney representing the largest group of them. Mm-hmm. But we listened to their attorney. We listened to the mom and pop. We listened to anybody that wanted. And I encouraged them, please come, please speak, let us hear us, or email us and let us know. And then after a certain point, it got to about, I guess, about a month before we were going to really close the negotiations, I said, from now on, everyone needs to direct everything through Stan Vaught. And Stan did a masterful job of hours and hours and hours sitting, trying to get a relationship with those that he doesn't know, and earning their trust, but looking at transportation and how can we make it better? How can we make it more equitable for all? Yeah. And honestly, how can we as a system survive doing it the way that we've been doing it for years and years and years, because it may have to change and may look a little bit different going forward, because we are 52,000 students and it may be time to do some other things. So
yeah, I know among the hard decisions, but I mean, you know, if the bus driver came in, you know, hot and heavy about the, you know, and they just talked to Stan for 10 minutes, he's going to diffuse that. Just, I mean, mm-hmm. just that's Stan's nature.
Oh, yes.
You know, and really get into that conversation. So I think you hit a home run with having him help out with that.
We're blessed that yeah. he took that on. And he really, he thought about things that most of us wouldn't even have thought about. I mean, he was ready to talk to anybody at the state, trying to help them, trying to get them the largest increase that they could, but that we could also absorb as taxpayers and not bust our budget as well.
Yeah, and the insurance thing really.
And the insurance thing, that was laid in our lap. That yeah. was not our, a lot of people, it took a while to make them understand that's not something that we're asking of them. That's what the state, the law changed, and we're not allowed to provide that insurance for them anymore. Yeah. And that was a barrier, an obstacle for some, but hopefully, you know, we've got enough routes that we're able to be taken that will be okay this year.
Claire Maxwell with us, Rutherford County School Board Chair. Another thing you spent a lot of time on was charter schools. I find that people don't really understand charter schools and the approval process, and mm-hmm. you know, the county can approve and it becomes a county charter school, but then if the state approves, it's still in the county, but it doesn't fall under the county. I mean, it just gets confusing.
If we're not the authorizer, we really have no say-so. So if we're going to approve them, when we become their authorizer, we have to support them financially. We are responsible with the Department of Education. If something goes wrong, we're on the hook. So that's the hesitation with a lot of people regarding sure. charter schools, because you have oversight, but you're not in the building day-to-day. You know,
and it's not your administrators, your
people.
It's not
our people. Yeah. You have to have faith that these people are going to do the right thing and hire the right people and do right by ESL and SPED and all of that. You know, we've got two right now, and they're both in the North End. And you know, I personally didn't vote for either one of them, and it's not an indication or an indictment on either one of them. I feel like we've got all we've got right now with the two that we have in the North End. But you know, everybody on the board didn't see it that way, and Nova Smart Academy was approved, and I think Dr. Sanger, who is going to be their head, and he's going to wear a lot of hats now. He's a rock star, I have to admit, but it's scary. You know, launching your first school. This will be their very first school. I like their board. I have some reservations, but you know, I now that we're their authorizer, I really want them to be successful, because like I said, their scores are our scores, their kids are our kids. They are they're a public school, and they're part of the Rutherford County system now, even though they are a charter.
Is that the third school or second?
It's the third school.
Third school that's a charter school.
That's the third school that we authorized. Now, okay. There is a misnomer, Rutherford Collegiate Prep, that's over in the Blackman area. Mm-hmm. We turned it down. We are not their authorizer. So we really have no say-so, other than the fact that we did, when they first opened up, we had to give them money from our budget, which... And I went to the state and said, you know,
there was a law change there or, yeah, so, or somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, we did not realize that we were going to have to give them some monies. So that was an ouch. But, you know, I hope they are successful. I don't want to see. But you know, there was a lot of, this is new to Rutherford County still. I mean, this, we're not like Davidson County, who've had charters or been offered charters for years and years and years. So this is a learning curve with this. And there are several on our board. And, I'm for school choice. I think we have wonderful choices in Rutherford County. You can send your kids to a private school. You can send your kids to a magnet school. We have the finest school, a central magnet. We have the top 10 school in the nation here. But I'm hoping that Novus is a good school. I didn't vote for it. I had my own reservations. I feel like we need to work on the ones we've got right here first and see, make sure that they are thriving before we take on any other, especially when they all want to go to the same area. Yeah. I'm worried about Smyrna and Laverne and oversaturation.
Gotcha.
Because we do have a high school that's going to be coming up the road.
Yeah.
And so
some of the things we want to talk about that's coming up in the future, but there's one more that I wanted to talk to you about that happened over the summer. And I know you're very passionate about it. And the last time you were here, we talked about that it was coming up, and that was Camp Wonder. Maybe remind us what that is and kind of give us a recap.
Would love to. Camp Wonder is a near and dear to my heart. It was started a little over six years ago when I walked in and had a discussion with Tamara McDougall, and we decided to partner up. And it's not a Rutherford County Schools thing, but Rutherford County Schools allows us to host the camp on their campuses. But it's for anyone 14 to 22 years old in our high schools who is a member of the CDC population, special ed population at our high schools. And it's just a week of fun activities. We have a new theme every year. This past year, the theme was Tennessee history. And in the mornings, we start, it was July 7th through the 11th, but we start our mornings at 9 o'clock, and Discovery Center sends two teachers, and they do two fun hands-on activities. Then we had our lunches provided for by Experience Church. And then we went to, and I thank them so much. It was such a nice thing for them to do for us. And then we have just a fun afternoon. I'm in charge of, I'm like the program director, manager of the week. And so we had, on Monday, we had the canines from the Sheriff's Department, and Fred, their bloodhound, and then Kia, who is, we affectionately said that was his girlfriend, with the city. She came out, and they just loved that. And then on Tuesday, Danielle Breezy came with her weather tractor machine, and that was, the kids just loved that. And then Wednesday, we had a nice man, James Emery, and he has his sensory space trailer that he brings to. I had first met him at Jazz Fest, and he had his trailer there, and that's when I contacted with him and said, I would love for you to come for Camp Wonder. But he came, and the kids loved it. We had 12 kids this year, which was a good number. It's hard in the summertime. You've got a lot of families taking vacation and going different places. But also, there's a lot of kids. I started Camp Wonder because there's a lot of kids that don't go anywhere in the summer. And some of these camps that they do offer are very expensive. Our camp was $50 for the whole week, and if it was a financial burden, we didn't. We have people that can take care of that. I don't have the camp so I can make money. I raise all the funding. We run everything through the Discovery Center. We have such wonderful people in this community, and they have allowed, because we can do it fairly inexpensively when everyone's pretty much a volunteer, other than the materials and the two workers from Discovery Center.
Sure.
So it was just a great week. Parents were, the email, the feedback I got was, you know, they had a great week, and they want to do 2 weeks next year. And I'm like, we did do one or two summers. We did one in June and one in July, but that was just a lot, really hard. That's you're asking a lot from your volunteers, and even I personally couldn't do 2 weeks. But if anybody's willing to want to work that, organize that up, you know, more power to them. But next year it looks like we might be at Rockville. I haven't really reached out to them yet, but we try to move it around to different parts of the county so that it will help you. Because in the summertime, you know, depending on where you live and how close you are to the site, depends on whether that you can bring your child, because there is no transportation provided.
Right. So, well, hopefully, if someone that's listening has any questions about that, they can find your email address
absolutely.
On the county website.
Email me anytime. I wish I do every year. I get a few people whose children are younger than high school, and I have to say I'm so yeah. sorry, but I'll see you when they're 14.
Soon, coming soon. Well, let's look ahead, because I know that the new school year is just, you know, what, a couple of weeks away.
August 6th is the 2-hour day.
Yep. And we're supposedly going to have the two oldest high schools in Murfreesboro, with additions that are planning to open at some time. Yep. Are they going to be open by the time school starts, or how's that going to work for Oakland and Riverdale?
Both schools are opening on time. I will say Riverdale's a little bit ahead of Oakland, but not much. Riverdale's ribbon cutting is going to be August the 17th at 2 o'clock. That's a Sunday afternoon. I encourage anyone, if you went to Riverdale, if your kids went to Riverdale, if you taught at Riverdale, or if you're just a community member and want to see what is happening at Riverdale and Oakland, and Oakland's only behind by maybe 4-6 weeks. We're looking at like maybe late September, early October for their ribbon cutting. It's been transformational. It's I'm very happy that we were able to accommodate Smyrna with an addition, but what they were able to do at Riverdale and Oakland, because of the obstacles that those schools were built in 72. And being open campuses and being laid out the way they were, they really weren't safe. And they were lacking some things that the newer schools have.
Yeah, I was at Oakland the second year that the annex was open. And so that would have been the early 90s. And, you know, that was like, wow, we got a new addition. But it was, you had to walk across a parking lot and a road to get there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if it's raining or it's really, really cold, you know, you're at the mercy of the elements. And like I said, and I also was worried about the safety.
Sure.
You can't have the bell ringing and have thousands of kids wandering outside going to different buildings. So what this is, it has fixed all of that. And it's transformed those schools and brought them up to the standard of a Stewart's Creek, a Rockvale. None of those schools are any better than our older schools, our legacy schools. And I'm very proud to be a part of that. It was important to me that we always take care of our schools, and our older schools have to be looked at every 10, 15 years. You have to look at them and make sure that they have what they need. But like I said, the auditoriums are beautiful. Both of them had a 350-seat auditorium.
For 2,200 kids.
For almost upwards to almost 2,500 with this new rezoning.
Yeah.
They can't use that. And then not only are the kids safe, they are protected. This, like I said, has been a relaunch, a redo 2.0 of Riverdale and Oakland, and I'm very proud of that.
So classrooms are part of this, I'm sure.
We got 30 classrooms going through the courtyard. Most of those are science buildings, and they are large classrooms. They're beautiful. I did a tour the other day, and I couldn't. It was just transformational. It's hard to believe, and you can go. There's a sky bridge that connects you from the.
That's
new,
the coolest looking thing.
Oh,
from
it
the
is.
Outside.
It is. But when you're going across it, there's no window, so you don't realize that you're crossing the sky bridge.
But
you drive underneath it to go back to, football and all of that baseball and everything that's back there. But it's just wonderful. And I think the kids, the hallways are a lot wider. The kids are just going to be blown away, and I hate that. And I apologize for the last 2 years of what they've had to endure walking around all of the construction and navigating all of that. But it is so well worth it. And this town is just going to be blessed by the new and improved.
So when school opens on the 6th, we're not necessarily going to be in the new buildings, but this within a couple of weeks.
From what I understand, Riverdale will be ready to go, and I think Oakland will be mostly ready to go. I think it's the auditorium is what the holdup is, I believe.
So there
at
could
Oakland.
Still be construction going on in a few places.
In a few places, but
classroom's
most of it should be done. Most of it should be done. But there's a lot of final touches that have to be done, but it's going to be gorgeous. And Butch Vaughn is real excited
for
going on at Oakland, and I'm super excited what's going on at Riverdale, and I'm also excited that we were able to, like I said, address what was going on at Smyrna and get them out of portables. 19 portables is just, and it's beautiful. I've seen their new addition, and I'm really happy to see what's going on at Laverne. So we've been able to not only
and while that's we're, construction's going on now,
yes,
right?
Three-story addition.
And that's the first one. First three-story,
and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful, and so. In a short span, because I've only been on the board since 2020, and we kind of were in quicksand with COVID for a little bit, so we didn't get to do any building. We have really, I think, made up for lost time with these improvements at these four older schools, and then we are also tackling the new areas of growth with new projects as well.
Any new things on the horizon in terms of buildings, facilities? Are we going to, what, we have 52 schools now?
We have 51. We're 52. Yeah,
okay,
almost.
With the new.
We have, well, Poplar Hill is opening up August 1st, elementary school. It's beautiful. The middle school has already started. And we have got a site on Lee Road on the north end of town. It's designated for a high school, and we're still in the negotiations of making sure that everything I's crossed and T's I's dotted and T's crossed on there, but that looks like that's a good site for a high school, and that will alleviate the overcrowding in the Blackman and Stewart's Creek area. And then potentially there's a second hot zone, which is the Christiana Plainview area, and there is some land down there as well, too. So we may be able to kill two birds with two stones. So.
Okay. Well, we'll have to stay tuned for that one for sure. Claire, it's always good to catch up with you. And if you've got kids in the Rutherford County school system, you know, be engaged, be involved, talk to your board members.
Absolutely.
That's the only way your voice is going to be heard, is if you actually have a voice. You can sit around and complain on social media all you want, but
we would be stupid not to realize that we are growing by leaps and bounds, and we are the fourth largest school system in the state of Tennessee, but they're coming because our schools are good.
Yeah.
And as long as I'm here, I'm going to make sure that they're good schools. And I'm committed to, I'm a Rutherford County girl, and I'm committed to keeping Rutherford County Schools tops.
Very good. Well, as always, thanks for stopping in. I know you had a long night, a long week, so maybe you get a little weekend in here.
Absolutely. I'm going to enjoy myself this
weekend.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Claire Maxwell joining us today. And just a reminder, if you missed part of our interview here this morning, the podcast will go up shortly at WGNSradio.com. WGNSradio.com under podcasts, and look for Rutherford Issues wherever you listen to podcasts or wherever you watch podcasts. You can also download, watch it, and take care of that maybe this weekend if you're just coming in on the backside. Have a great day, everybody. Great weekend, and we'll see you back here next time.